Mailbag Monday.
It's a beautiful high C that you have there. That's a lovely note that we hit.
I was going for an A flat.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, we were in harmony. It was great, you know. But yeah, welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's good to have you guys.
Guys, yeah, again, if you're tuning in for Taylor Owens, he's not here, so turn off now.
Yeah, he is somewhere in the Flagstaff vicinity. Last we saw him, so we're using Find My Phone. We're still not getting any hits, so we'll let you know.
You ever hear that story about the Canadian robot that was hitchhiking through America? And as soon as it got to Philly, someone destroyed it?
It
made it all the way across Canada. And then as soon as it crossed the border, it like got into Philly and just immediately got destroyed.
Did it like walk into an Eagles game or something? Did
probably.
Just get torn to shreds?
Probably walked into the middle of like a hockey game, like... Post riots,
yeah, just got bashed to pieces.
Well,
God bless America. God bless Philadelphia.
I'll leave it there.
So, welcome to another Movie Mailbag Monday. We've got a couple of wines on deck here. So we're drinking Raptor Ridge Pinot Noir, Willamette Valley.
Raptor Ridge,
great.
Willamette or Willamette?
It is Willamette. Rhymes, damn it. Yeah, it's a great wine. Great winery. It's a beautiful area.
Good apps.
What area is it?
The Willamette Valley is going to be kind of not too far from Portland. It's going to be a little bit to the west and south of Portland. And it is just a beautiful, lush...
Rolling hills.
You'd think they would make ports.
No.
Good prairie grasses.
Is that a little bit further north?
Portugal is going to be the only place in the world where you're going to find ports.
Portland, I feel like...
You would think so.
It's right there.
Portlandia.
It's right there.
Willamette Valley is going to be mainly Pinot Noir, Pinot Gris. They are branching out into other stuff like Chardonnay because they're getting more and more bubbly there. So its parallel is going to be kind of similar to France.
It'll be interesting to see how global climate change is going to affect the types of wines that are available in different wineries.
And it was crazy. So we went there in 2017, and we went there for my wife's birthday, which is August 2nd. And the week before was the hottest temperature ever recorded in Oregon. It got up to 112 degrees.
Yeesh.
And supposedly
hot grapes
just nuked the wines
hot
that
grapes.
Year. You know, growing wines, it's like any other type of farming where you are just tethered to whatever kind of...
At the mercy of the weather.
Yeah. I mean, if you have like too much rain or not enough rain, or if you have a fire breakout, you know, anything like that. I mean, if you have an infestation of bugs, I mean, it's like you're dead. You're screwed. So you're very vulnerable. And I think that you have to be ready for like an entire crop to get wiped out.
Us, yeah.
And I think that's kind of what happened that year. They were trying to salvage it then. And I think they managed to get some product out, but it was not up to the usual, like, you know, Oregon standards. So,
but hey, at least we have highways.
That's right. Exactly. At least we have highways. So yeah, we're drinking that one, and then we're drinking a nice Côte d'Aron, the Font du Vent. Côte d'Aron is one of my favorite regions in France, south of France. It's like it's Syrah based red wine. You'll see some Syrah, Grenache, and
Mourvèdre
mixed in there. Yeah.
That's very, the only thing about wine good, I know. Travis. I like GSMs.
Yeah.
I enjoy them because it's 3-in-1. That means you get drunk faster.
And you get to say jism when you put them jism. Together. Yeah.
Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre.
Jism.
Jism.
But yeah, primarily Syrah based. You will see some that are more Grenache based.
And some that are more Mourvèdre based. Because that's the third one.
No.
Shut the fuck up.
Nope. Nope.
I'll take it from here. Calm down, choir boy.
I'm
got
a wine guy now.
That needs to be our hashtag, calm down, choir boy. although I don't know if I like what that hashtag is going to bring us on social media.
Ooh, but yeah.
Anyway. So, we are going to look at, for this mailbag, a question that I get asked all the time is, what
have boxers or briefs?
Well, boxer briefs.
Boxer briefs.
Yeah, hedge my bets on that one.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. Gotcha. And so, what movie that you've watched has disappointed you, and what movie has been the most pleasant surprise? You know, and because a lot of these
we've covered.
Yeah. A lot of these we've seen before. And so, a lot of these, it's going back and watching stuff that we already have experienced. So, it's like... What is the experience like the second time around, or third or fourth time around? So, what movie has caught you off guard in a good way and in a bad way? So, if you guys got answers.
Actually, I think I'm ready. So the one that we watched recently, actually, they're both recent ones. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Just, I don't think I was in the right mood or whatever, but I just wasn't feeling it this time. Wasn't in the right frame of mind. I loved it as a kid, but I watching it now, and I was like, you know, I could do something else with my time right now.
Yeah.
It felt like a chore getting through it to watch it for the podcast this time.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first to admit, it's a lovely, stupid film. I just wasn't in the right mood for it that day.
Yeah.
The one that I always, that I did like, that I always come back to, and I always forget that I love it, is 12 Monkeys. I watch it again, and I'm like, God, this is a great movie. Why don't I watch it more often?
Yeah.
And then it's like several years before I see it again.
Yeah.
But maybe that's good, because I rediscover it all the time. I'm like, oh my God, I've totally forgot about this movie.
Yeah.
I have two answers. So one, it's kind of hard when you like vouch for a movie and then when you show it to people, you know, they're just like on their phone the whole time or they're just completely distracted. Primer, yeah. The one we just recently did on time travel, I vouched for it and I like watched it with three people and I think all three were just like, eh, why did we watch that?
Yeah.
It's a hard sell.
Yes.
And it's a hard sell movie. And I think, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, go back and listen to our review of it, but it's not what I expected it to be.
Yeah.
You know, after seeing it before. And then Father of the Bride was a stinker.
Yeah. Watch the new one.
I did. And I turned it off halfway through.
Yeah.
Like we looked at each other and we're like, can we turn this off? This is
bad. And it suffers from the same problem. I know we probably talked about this in the podcast, but I was drunk, so I'm not sure. But yeah, I mean, it's just all these rich people and their first world problems. It's just like, it's just not appealing.
Just constant whining, just like constant.
Yeah. I mean, like Andy Garcia at one point in the new one is like, you know, wondering like how many flamingos do they need for their wedding reception? How many bottles, how many cases of mezcal? It's like, if that's
like, we're not doing mezcal, we're doing rum. We're Cuban. It's like,
and it's like, if that's your worst problem in the world, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
You don't have many problems.
Yeah.
It's like, do we have this in our house or the new in-laws, you know,
mansion
in our 8,000 square foot house or the new in-laws, they have a 12,000 square foot house
and a yacht.
Yeah. It's like, man, I would like to think I could relate to anything that's going on in this movie, but I cannot relate to that.
Yeah. It's the epitome of first world problems.
Yeah. Oh, it's that on steroids, yeah. You know, so it's like, going back, I remember thinking it was the Steve Martin version was cute as a kid.
Right. And yeah. Then, Steve Martin, it was like, mm-hmm. You know, appealing.
And he makes sneakers, you know, yeah. It's fun.
He plays basketball with his daughter.
Yeah. And now he's just like this mopey, like middle aged, just, you know.
Yes, dear.
Yutz.
Yeah. Know,
just trying to steal hot dog buns at the grocery store. It's like, oh my God, what am I watching?
He's trying to find some agency in his life, trying to, you know, dress a glizzy.
Exactly. Yeah. Man just wants a glizzy.
I saw a picture the other day. Right now. Someone took an Olive Garden breadstick and sliced it down the middle and put a hot dog in it.
Yeah.
Fucking great. Tremendous content.
Man.
Garlic bread glizzy.
That's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Garlic bread glizzy is a band name, if I ever heard one.
That's a jam band. That's a string cheese
100%,
band.
Yeah.
I mean, garlic bread glizzy, that's what, GBG?
Yeah.
It's like, man, you guys see GBG? Yeah, you know, the Gorge.
I've been following them on tour, man.
And also, I mean, the Gorge was amazing.
First of all, you get the bread, and then you give it its own little glizzy of butter and garlic.
I'm sorry, you're telling me you get the bread, and then you just, like, give it a little bit of an inside... Like core,
yeah.
Or you get the glizzy, and then you give it a little coat.
Look, I'm using glizzy in two different ways here.
I know it's a nebulous term. No one knows what it means.
My man is steeped in metaphors.
Yep.
Give your bread a glizzy.
Anytime I see glizzy mentioned in the wild, I send it to Travis. Of like, hey, here's an Instagram post where someone mentions a glizzy.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where it's like
lightly glazed glizzy.
It's almost always baseball content.
Well, it's like when you know, you buy a car and, you know, beforehand you don't see it, but then all of a sudden you buy the car, you see that car everywhere.
Yeah.
We start talking about glizzies and all of a sudden I'm seeing glizzies everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time you send me one, I forward that on to porn star Kendra Sunderland. She still hasn't responded. But that's who I learned glizzies from. I don't know.
Yeah.
I heard her talk about glizzy. I was like, what is glizzy? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, I'm kind of disappointed. But now I'm kind of happy.
Did you think it was something else? Like, Pornographic?
Next question.
So she taught you a lot about living and a little about glizzies.
Mm-hmm.
And then a pleasant surprise movie for me. It was not one that I had seen before, but Lion and Winter. I thought Lion and Winter was a tremendous movie.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Actually,
I had low expectations going in, and I was blown away.
Yeah. Todd popped my cherry with Lion and Winter, and it was a pleasure to let him do so again the second time.
Mm-hmm. It's a damn fine movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's one movie I can always go back and watch because it's so dialogue heavy and the performances are so incredible. It's like you find new stuff, mm-hmm. you know, that you don't notice before. It's like, you know, there's always clever lines that you can't really catch because it's so fast. You know, you go back and watch it again, you find new.
It's like a Tarantino movie.
Yeah. Mm. It's that fast. Mm. Yeah. And you can feel Sorkin being influenced by it, you know, how incredible and how fast paced
the dialogue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Silly Sorkin.
Definitely want to go back and do another one or two of his movies. Those are fun to analyze mm-hmm. for a podcast sometime. I wouldn't hate that if we got that for the gap, like Few Good Men or American President or something. That'd be kind of fun. But yeah, for me, it's like, I mean, disappointing movie. I mean, Sleepless in Seattle. It's like, that was a movie that I enjoyed, you know, back in the day. I mean, My Best Friend's Wedding, I didn't like it when it came out as a rom-com. I didn't like it back then. I thought it was pretty disappointing because it was like, you know, the protagonist, Julia Roberts, is so cringy. I didn't realize how cringy Meg Ryan is until we went back and watched it again.
Yeah, that was our come away or takeaway from that movie. It was just like, this is,
yeah, it's creepy. Like, this is one of the highest grossing movies of that year. I mean, it was like
it's iconic.
Yeah, it's a huge hit. I mean, even
the chronic, it's iconic.
Even the poster, you know, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks kind of looking up at the same, you know, American Tail moon or whatever. It's like, that's, you know, iconic. And it's like going back and watching, I do not want this couple to get together. I don't want them to.
And I just feel bad for Bill Pullman. But I guess he became president later.
That's true. And he got Sandra Bullock in that one movie. So,
yep.
You know, once, or was he asleep? No.
Nope. It was Eyebrows.
He was the brother. He was mm-hmm. the
Sandy Cohen.
He was kind of the shimpy brother.
Yep.
And he was in Spaceballs.
Yeah,
that's
Lone
right.
Star.
He was in some damn fine movies. Yep. He was in League of Their Own. He pops up periodically throughout the podcast. So
he's got a good good not discography, but
mm-hmm.
oh yeah,
library of movies.
Which I did enjoy League of Their Own going back. I haven't seen that in years.
I enjoyed that too.
Yeah. Hey, there's a TV
show on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. One of the gals from the Comedy Central. Fuck, not
she's a girls, comedian, right?
Shit, I can't remember what it is.
There's now. A lot of girls. It's mostly girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the cast.
And she wants to explore the LGBTQ side of the storyline, she said. Mm. So,
one of my personal favorite Instagram follows is someone named Lil Frex. Mm. She's in it.
Really? Mm-hmm. She's one of the peaches or whatever?
Yeah, she's an actress, I guess, in New York, I think. Mm. But, yeah, she was in this.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Which I love the movie. I love
she,
to go back
She does
and see
a
that.
Series on Instagram called It's What I Heard. I think she started it during COVID, but it's good. You should check it out.
And I've heard people talk about that in the podcast.
Yeah.
I enjoyed going back to The Princess Bride as well, checking that one out. Yeah, I knew it was
I
good.
I love that movie.
I knew it was going to be a classic, but it was like, it was great to go back. Even like Kill Bill, stuff I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's nice having some being reassured that like movies that you still think are like really good movies are still good.
Yeah, they hold up.
Yeah, like Kill Bill. Like I've always thought, like, oh yeah, I like Kill Bill. Rewatching, I'm like, God, fuck, why don't I watch this movie more often?
Yeah,
I feel like I should watch this every day.
It's awesome.
It gets me hyped.
Yeah,
Broad City. That's what I can.
Bam, bam, bam. Oh yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, there have been a couple movies that I thought that you know I was.
Oh yeah, it's got Alana, right from Broad City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like, I also think about like stuff like Waterworld and you know, there've been some stuff that we've kind of slogged through.
No, I mean, I still like Waterworld I mean, it's just Mad Max on water, mm-hmm. but, and a weird amphibian Kevin Costner.
Yeah. And Dennis Hopper, you know?
Yeah. And little Jack Black.
Yeah.
Little flashes.
And it's like. I mean, even by that point, Dennis Hopper as a psycho villain was a trope. It was already a cliche. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You
know? He had already worn that one out.
It's a fine line between a movie being like cheesy or being like, you know, campy
mm-hmm.
and being just outright bad. And Waterworld toes that line very finely.
You know, I,
you know what doesn't toe that line very finely? Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
Fucking weird.
Yeah. Speaking of Dennis Hopper, we need to watch Speed. I love Speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes,
it's, me too. It's a great standalone film or that never had any sequels. It never had any sequels.
Saw that in the theater.
Speed 2?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure the best part of it was probably Willem Dafoe, but all I saw was like the last 15 minutes of the movie one time.
Yeah. It is awful. I mean, and it's like, because Willem Dafoe has golf clubs that explode. So that's one thing I remember about that movie. Because I think I kind of drifted off attention-wise. I think I stared at the exit sign for about the last 10 minutes of the movie. You know, I was trying to like, I don't know if you've ever experienced this where you like, you think if you stare at something long enough, you might be able to like move it or turn it off with your mind.
Are you trying to use telekinesis?
I was trying to turn off the exit sign with my mind.
Were you wondering if you had superpowers?
Yes. That's how boring I was. That's how bored I was this movie.
You know, I feel like culturally we've moved away from seeing bad movies in theaters. Mm-hmm. Like we just
to seeing bad movies at home.
Yeah. Exactly. We just don't do it anymore. Like we don't go see bad movies in theaters.
Yeah.
Like once we hear it's like not worth seeing, even if it's like borderline, it's like, oh, I don't want to spend $15 on that.
News travels so fast now.
I know.
Back in the day,
news travels super fast.
Yeah.
Nothing travels.
Bad gas travels fast in a small town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, back in, you know, Speed 2 days, you just had the blurbs in the paper. You know, it's like.
Yeah, and who can trust those?
Yeah. When they revealed a bunch of those were fake back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of those blurbs, people were getting all these like hack, you know, critics were getting paid to do like, you know, oh, wow, the feel good hit of the summer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But you there are some of these.
You're just going to pay me money and I just don't even have to work.
There are some of these films, though, that are really bad. But like if people had just gone to see them, they would have gotten like cult status. I mean, there are some that because home video back in the day used to like grow cult classics out of the woodwork.
Well, I'll give you an example. We watched Honey, We Shrunk Ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
God, that movie was bad. But you know that movie thrived on home rentals.
Yeah.
That was a Disney VHS, like, staple.
Yeah. That was parents trying to find something to keep their kids busy.
Yep. Going to Blockbuster, finding something for themselves, finding something for the kids.
Yeah. That's a pop at the VHS, the VCR, and forget it.
Yep. And we're going to go in the other room and we're going to watch our movie.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to go back, editing the Star Trek First Contact podcast, I want to pay Sean a compliment of him saying that the inside of a Borg ship looked like the inside of a Zenith VCR. Spot on. That sailed by me whenever we were podcasting, but I listened to that again. That is dead on balls accurate.
I miss Zenith. What a brand.
It's like, man, that is the aesthetic of the Borg ship.
Yep.
It's like, because my wife and I were listening to that podcast on our way to Oklahoma City today, and that line popped up, and I said, that's, Sean nailed it right there. She's never seen it.
Do you listen to podcasts of yourself on road trips so you don't have to have a conversation with your wife?
She actually, normally when she drives for work, that's where she catches up with our podcast. So that's usually her way of like getting up to date with wherever we are. And nice. So she had one more to go, and so... She's not a Star Trek fan at all. She's as much as Taylor was not.
Yeah, she mentioned that she really appreciated Taylor's comments.
Mm-hmm. So, but she slogged through the podcast, and yeah, I told her, it's like, that's Sean's description of the Borg ship is perfect. So
dead on balls accurate.
Yes,
thank you.
But yeah, this has been another episode of Cinema Vino. Another Mailbag Monday.
Little mailer. Travis, we'll get there.
Yeah, but I don't get to sing when we just hit a button and you just
get do you not sing along with it?
Oh.
Singing the Nelson. Yeah, that, baby.
I didn't think we were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Can I sing along with it?
We can do it now.
Yeah, you can do it.
Mailbag Monday.
I miss Taylor.
It's beautiful. Yeah, he definitely.
That, the bass.
Yeah, he definitely.
Your tone.
Yeah. He has a beautiful singing voice, just lovely.
He has a very long esophagus.
Yeah. Sure does.
So, yeah. Blew out the back of Tasha Yar.
We were talking about Aaron Sorkin, and all I could think of was Soong-type android. I want a Sorkin-type android.
Hairdo and everything.
Yep.
So, we will see you guys next time.
Catch us on the flip side.
Exactly. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to hit that button again just because I can.
Do it.
Do you have questions or comments for us? Be sure and send them to @CinemaVinoPodcast on Instagram, or you can email them to CinemaVinoPodcast@gmail.com.